We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So I guess the Panthers had an open practice, as a lot of these teams do, and Matt Rhule was talking to the media, and he was doing so on the sideline, and there was one fan that was heckling him during the interview. Listen up.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, between soccer, between the concerts, between football, to me, like, it's been a tremendous to see the atmosphere, to see people coming out, so... You know, I'm happy everyone's here. Even the guy saying fire Matt Rhule right now. I'm happy that everyone's out here. Our players worked hard. They deserve it, man. So,
I don't know if I've ever heard that before. Hot take, Hickey. A coach? Like, we've all heard people say fire a coach and chant that at games. But I've never heard a coach or a manager have their name being chanted about and also a fan advocating for the firing of that coach or manager while the coach is speaking to members of the media. Isn't that one of the most bizarre things you've ever heard? And I don't know if I would have been able to handle it that way, because if that was me, like, let's say we were doing a remote and some guy's chanting, "Fire Zach Gelb! Fire Zach Gelb!" However that fan sounded like. I don't know if I would have immediately been able to say, I appreciate the fan even that's chanting to fire me right now. I'd probably go back at that fan and tell him to sit the bleep down and get the bleep out, right?
Which is why I give the fan a lot of credit. Like, it's so easy to scream fire Matt Rhule on radio or
fire
at a game.
Ryan Hickey!
Well, I don't like that one. But like,
fire Ryan Hickey!
For him to be, what, 20 feet away and to basically scream it knowing he's going to hear it, I give the fan credit. Let some stones.
The only time I actually remember something like this happening. Now, the guy wasn't doing an interview, but remember when a fan brought a sell the team sign for James Dolan and they escorted that fan out? Well, you could say which time, because that's happened a lot of times. That's probably the only thing where we've seen someone that is demanding someone to get fired or to sell the team, and then the person's right there, and then immediately there's an action that corresponds to it.
A few weeks ago, there was a situation where the Pittsburgh Pirates owner was taking pictures with fans, and one fan had a Pirates jersey on, and literally like a second before the picture's going to get taken, unbuttoned the jersey, underneath says, "Sell the team."
Oh.
But it was more of a sneak attack, because he didn't go in there just with the t-shirt, "Sell the team." It was jersey on, covered it up, and then like, "All right, you guys ready? 3, 2, 1, sell the team."
Yeah, those TikTokers could be a little bit crazy.
They go for it.
I saw some lady approach Robert Kraft and was trying to. I don't want to make the noise on the radio.
Uh-oh.
Do you know like the "oh yeah" challenge kind of thing? If you say that in a sexual way, as if someone was moaning.
I did not know there's a challenge. But
I don't know if it's a challenge, but it's been a thing where you say that in public. There was some. I saw this TikTok. I guess it was from last night. Someone was on the sideline. This lady must have been 40 years old. And she went up to Robert Kraft and said, "Can I get an oh yeah or a uh-huh?" And use your imagination on the sexual sound that makes. And Robert Kraft was just like, "Oh yeah."
Robert Kraft, I'm it. Sidestep that one, Robert.
She walked right up. She goes, "Oh," he goes, "nice to meet you." and the lady at the camera right in his face and just saying, can I get an uh-huh?
There's a lot of jokes that could be made. We'll let them lie.
Yeah. It's a Friday, right? We don't want to get any calls from management or anything saying, why'd you guys say that on the radio? And then the next thing you know, our whole weekends are ruined because we're going to get a stern talking to from management. I think we've already all had enough of those. We don't need any more of those when you have 2 hours left in the work week. Scott Abraham, he asked Carson Wentz a few tough questions, according to Jason Wright, who doesn't appreciate the tone of these questions. This courtesy of 7 News DC.
There's been kind of a narrative out there here in training camp that you've been a little inaccurate on your throws. Consistently inconsistent has been a kind of a terminology. How would you assess your performance in training camp, and is that characterization fair?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it's camp. You know, I think I didn't know that, so thank you.
Yep. But, I know, because I know you told me you don't read that stuff.
At the same time, I'm my biggest critic. So I come back after practice, right, and I'm kicking myself over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays, you know.
Real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to, you know, be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, you know, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that. You know, that is what it is. But for me, I don't think in those terms.
The only time I thought this guy sounded douchey when he said, hey, real talk, Carson. That's the only time I'm like, douche alert. This guy's a douche. But other than that, his questions are totally fair. And Carson Wentz has been asked this stuff before. So if I don't know if this guy regularly gets to speak to Carson Wentz, but I can tell you this, and I know it's not going to happen because he would not appear on this show. But if Carson Wentz did join us on this show, I would say the same thing. I would say it started off well in Philadelphia, then you failed. You failed in Indianapolis last year. Tell me why you're going to succeed and why this is going to work the third time around and why the third time is going to be a charm with the Washington Commanders. And the fact of the matter that Jason Wright is upset over this today, all you did was put more fuel on the fire. This was a little fire. I did not see anyone talk about this on Twitter today until Jason Wright responded. So if I'm this guy, Scott Abraham, I'm cutting Jason Wright a check. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And for the Commanders, think about this. Jason Wright's the president of the Commanders. He called the questioning unprofessional. Do you call your owner unprofessional? And I know Jason Wright has been put in some bad situations. And we know who's paying your paychecks and signing your paychecks. And he understands the climate that he's in working for that organization. But if you're going to call a reporter's fair questions unprofessional, I think you got to say that Dan Snyder's been unprofessional. The Commanders just can't get out of their own way. And their name sucks, too. On a side note, they should have just kept the Washington football team. Has this Commander's nickname, Hot Take Hickey, or name resonated with you yet? Because I can't stand it. And every time I hear it, all I think about is that fan screaming, we are Commanders. Da, 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 da.
It's normalized for me. Aww. I like the football team, but at this point I hear Commanders, I don't get upset anymore. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot better. Could have been way better.
Call them the Washington crybabies. All they do, Rivera yesterday, oh, the narratives are all unfair. And then Jason Wright today. This reporter, Big Ben, douchey Scott Abraham. Oh, Scott, you were unprofessional. We're going to pull your credentials because you may hurt Carson Wentz's feelings. And Carson handled this in a classy way, the way he should. And I've interviewed Carson Wentz before. I don't think Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback in this league anymore. I once did. But Carson Wentz, he knows how to handle a press conference. way, and this would even make it more pathetic, that you could even justify Jason Wright responding to this is if Carson was just furious and then was bitching and complaining to Jason Wright. But then I would tell Carson Wentz, shut up. They're fair questions. You sucked at the end in Philadelphia. You crumbled up against the Jaguars. You were terrible up against Tennessee with the Colts. You don't want these questions asked you? If Carson didn't like the questions, that's why Jason Wright's responding? Then play better. Don't make the Colts want to trade you after they gave up a king's ransom to go get you. Same with the Philadelphia Eagles. Jeez. There's no way the Commanders actually think Carson Wentz is going to work. There's no way. What do they see that I'm not seeing where you get where you swap twos and you give up two threes or one of them could turn into a second round pick? Explain this to me, Hickey. Because you got ooh and ahed by him last year.
You know what the sad part is? I think J.P. Finley kind of highlighted when he joined us the other day.
The touchdown to interception ratio?
No, not even that. It was the reference of, look what's been here before, he's better. Yeah. Like, I'm with you. I don't see, if he failed in Indy with Frank Reich when everything was there for him to succeed, zero chance he's going to Washington and being better.
Here's what I'll equate it
That's
to.
Like a loser mentality.
When I used to go to sleepaway camp, when I was younger, I did not like the food. My taste buds, whatever reason, when I was in fourth and fifth grade, did not like the food that they served at the sleepaway camp. So then when I would go outside a camp or when a counselor would bring you back food, it could have been a McDonald's cheeseburger. And you would have thought it was as if it was a tomahawk steak because you had food that you thought was crappy for so long. And then something that is slightly less crappy, you think it's the greatest thing in the world. And then years later, you go back to that same place. Oh, when I was a kid, we used to go to this spot or that spot. And you would eat that food. And you go, wow, it wasn't as great as I once remembered it. That's what the Commanders are trying to do right now. They're trying to say, we had the worst food possible. And now we're going to like a one-star restaurant, a two-star restaurant. Has one or two stars on Yelp, but it's going to taste significantly better than what you had, but it's still a crappy meal at the end of the day compared to everything else. Bill Belichick on why both Matt Patricia and Joe Judge called plays last night. This clip is only 3 seconds long. Oh, boy.
I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to do that.
Belichick is asked if he will decide on one offensive coordinator before week one.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
We're going through a process. Everyone's talking about it, so I could even have my decision made, but I'm going to make this a whole dog and pony show right now because I have to be mysterious. And even if I knew who was going to call the plays week one, which I already do, I'm going to put on this facade that Matt and Joe are getting the equal opportunities right now to call the plays because everything's about competition. It makes no sense why we're going to trust a former failed head coach with the Lions who hasn't coached the offensive side of the ball since the early 2000s. Then this guy that was also another former failed head coach, this time with the Giants, who, was a wide receiver coach for a year and then was a special teams coach here in New England. But I trust him. I wonder how much I actually hate Bill O'Brien since I know him and I didn't bring him back. And I also don't want to make any of these guys available to the media. And by NFL rules, if I do name someone officially offensive coordinator, they have to speak to the media each and every week and be made available. So long story short, I'm not giving you anything. So shut the bleep up.
This is ridiculous.
Don't worry about it. I'm in literal tears. Don't worry about that.
But it'd be one thing if I had options. It'd be one thing if I had someone that had experience calling the plays and then another guy that was a young up-and-coming coach. I have two failed bozos as head coaches. One that was a special teams coach and the other was a defensive coordinator. And one of these guys are going to be in charge of calling the plays for a guy that I think could be a good quarterback in Mac Jones. Mike Vrabel gave his impressions on Malik Willis's first preseason game.
He kept some plays alive with his legs, and we just have to be able to combine some of that with making great decisions when guys are open and being decisive and accurate with the football.
We'll get into this later. Is there a path for Malik Willis to get on the field this year? We'll do a little schedule breakdown coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Let's go to Kyle Shanahan. Trey Lance going to play tonight for the 49ers. He says the 49ers were picking between Trey Lance and Mac Jones at 3 in the draft from two drafts ago on the I Am Athlete podcast.
There was two that I really wanted. Mac. Mac Jones and Trey. Those were the two guys that we were locked in on from the beginning. And I probably, if we never moved up to there, we would have never had the chance to learn more about Trey. And that was the hardest thing. You got to be so sneaky and stuff when you're back there because you don't want people hopping in front of you. And I had a very strong people who were going to hop in front of us. So to go through that process to get to know both of them, you know, Trey was tough because he didn't play the year of football before. And it was a small school. So we got to learn so much about them once we knew we were there because we didn't have to hide stuff. And that made me a lot more confident in it.
Hickey, that just solved the mystery right there. Remember, we all know how Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan, they have those matching tattoos and are so close. Remember, Chris Sims was the guy that first threw out Mac Jones. So Kyle told him when he made that move that they were going to go for Mac Jones. And then when they didn't have to keep everything a secret because you knew who 1 and 2 was, and they really had the, even though they had the 3rd overall pick, since we knew who 1 and 2 was, you had the number 1 overall pick when it came to the next quarterback. So you got to do more homework a little bit more freely and didn't have to protect anything. And then Trey Lance won them over Mac Jones. That's the way that I interpret it.
Yeah, 100%. And it does make sense why at least that report was out there, but I'm with you. I was wrong. At least I thought it was Justin Fields, not Jones. But
I know Shanahan and Belichick are really close. Shanahan sounded like Belichick there until he revealed the information. He's mumbling, very monotone, but then he actually said something. Belichick just never says anything unless if you ask him about a long snapper. Kyle Shanahan on if there was a moment when he knew Trey Lance was the guy, I Am Athlete podcast.
That moment changes every day. Like, because I go, when I have two things I believe in, I always check myself a lot. I always compare it to how I buy houses. Like, when my wife will bring me to a house she loves, I go through the house and I point out every single thing that's wrong with it. Usually by the end of it, she's in tears and she's apologizing to the realtor for how offensive I've been. And then I come out and they're out there and they're like, what do you think? I'm like, oh, I like this one. Let's get this. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? And I was just like, no, I realize the things that were wrong. And I know we can fix those three things, so let's go off the potential of this. And that's how I was with him and Mac, because Mac had so much good stuff on tape the way he played, and Trey, I loved what he put on tape. It was a year of football, so it wasn't totally enough, and especially the division. But the more you dive into it, the more I got to know the guy, the more I got to find out some stuff about him, the more I believed in what I didn't see and what I believe we will see.
You know what the headline is from that? Kyle Shanahan didn't fully believe in Mac Jones. Give me a Patriots 49ers game soon, hopefully. Use that as bulletin board material. And finally, Deshaun Watson, I take this as he wants to settle, so he finally has apologized. This courtesy of ClevelandBrowns.com.
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back, but I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I'm going to keep pushing for it.
It's tough to believe that you could expect anything much different in the future, and through time we'll see, but it doesn't necessarily mean it excuses what you did or potentially did in the past. I just take this, and an apology is an apology, so you got to take it for what it's worth, but you have not said anything of any contrition in the past. This just makes me think that all you want to do is just settle right now because you realize you're in a no-win situation, so you want to try to get on the field at some point this year. And if it just comes down to whoever Goodell appointed comes down with the ruling, chances are you're not going to be on the field this year. So I guess Deshaun's finally starting to accept reality, and here came somewhat of an apology today. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Got two injury notes, and this is why you're all sheep if you actually say you enjoy preseason, because this is why I can't stand preseason. It has nothing to do with my team, but I hate preseason. And I know everyone tries to have this fake enthusiasm. Yeah, football's back. Yeah, preseason. Can't wait to go to training camp. Woohoo! All that stuff. Sorry. This is why I do not like preseason football, because injuries happen. And I know injuries are inevitable. I know they're part of the game. I just want to get to the regular season. And every time I see a preseason game on, I go, please, everyone, just get out of the game healthy. Zach Wilson of the Jets, he has a knee injury. He's questionable to return up against the Eagles. Hickey, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I don't think he's going to return. I guess it's good news if he's questionable for now, but there's no way Zach Wilson gets back into this game
tonight. 0.0000%
This is not a playoff game. This is not a game that's even week three of the regular season. We're okay. Maybe we'll expedite him and get him back on the field and rush him onto the field. It's a preseason. It's irrelevant. And then from Adam Schefter, the Falcons announced that Drake London, their wide receiver, has a knee injury and will not return tonight. I guess this is just a start for the Falcons. The Falcons are going to be miserable this year. Marcus Mariota is your quarterback. See, everyone tries to hype up Marcus Mariota. This guy was a second overall pick, and now he's getting another chance to start for a team, basically to just take the beating for a year or two before they go draft their guy in this upcoming draft. Maybe you do see Desmond Ridder at some point this year. It's unfortunate with the whole Calvin Ridley situation with the parlays. Now he's out for the entire season. You have Kyle Pitts. But really, other than that, like you have a fine offensive line. But I look at this Falcons team. They're going to be miserable. They're going to be bad. And this is not a good division. Yeah, the Bucs, if Brady's actually going to show up and play football, which I expect him to, even though he's away for 10 days now, the Bucs are going to win that division easily. They'll probably be the first team in football to clinch a division. Then you look at the rest of the division, you're hoping that Christian McCaffrey's healthy, maybe Baker Mayfield finds a way to bounce back this season. The Saints, I like the Saints roster, but you have trust issues with Dennis Allen and Jameis Winston. And then there's the Falcons. This division stinks, and the Falcons are still going to be a bottom five team in the NFL.
You know what? That's good for them. You get a young quarterback. Look, I'm not saying they're going to be anywhere near good next year. There's so many holes. But you do get a young quarterback. You have Drake London if he can play. You have Calvin Ridley coming back. And you have Kyle Pitts. Not bad.
Well, you expect Calvin Ridley to play again for the Falcons? I don't.
Why not?
There was all the indications were, and I guess the Eagles were involved, and I think the Patriots were involved too, but I remember there being a report that the Eagles were heavily interested in acquiring Calvin Ridley. Now we know they eventually got A.J. Brown at the draft, but there was that thought that he was definitely going to get traded regardless. So I don't even know if it's a lock that he'll ever play again for the Falcons. I would actually expect that he never plays again for the Falcons.
If you get Bryce Young, I would say your calculus changes. All of a sudden now there's no reason to trade away a good young receiver.
Okay, but why does Calvin Ridley then want to play for your team all of a sudden just based off getting Bryce Young? Who, even though there's big-time expectations on Bryce Young, how many times do we hear a young quarterback be hyped up and then they bottom out of the league very quickly?
Well, now at least there's a direction you're going in. There's a chance. Like with Matt Ryan, I'm excited for Matt Ryan as a Colt, but in Atlanta, there was really nothing going. There's so many holes. At least now you have some sort of optimism offensively to stick around and have, you know, a prolific offense going. You see what the Bengals did.
But is that guy even going to get on the field in year number one? Is Bryce Young going to play right away? Is C.J. Stroud going to play right away? Are they going to use Marcus Mariota for another season or use Desmond Ridder for another season? Because sometimes teams do like to sit a quarterback for a year. That's another part of the conversation.
That is true. I would, right now, a year away without knowing where they are, what the situation is, so that's always a fun game to play, I would say they start week one.
And Calvin Ridley, so he can't become a free agent now, according to SpotRac, until he has one more year under contract, because it gets, I think he was entering, this was going to be a free agent year at the end of 2022.
Yeah. Now
so then
it
gets pushed back a year. So yeah, 2024, he becomes a free agent in Calvin Ridley. And this was going to be his fifth year option year this year. I still think he gets traded, but if you're the Falcons, you know how, I would not view Calvin Ridley any differently now if I was trading for him. I know he missed a lot of games last year because of mental health reasons. And now he's out this entire year because of a gambling, of what, a $1,500 parlay or whatever it was. Yeah, a few parlays. You know, on a side note, Ridley gets suspended for an entire year easily. We're now hoping Deshaun Watson gets suspended for an entire year. And I know one's the integrity of the game and the other one's just being a terrible human being. But in the NFL, if it's about the integrity of the game, that gets treated more seriously than maybe sexually assaulting multiple women. And Judge Sue Robinson also said that the way the NFL defines sexual assault, he committed multiple infractions of what she said was nonviolent sexual assault, which the terming of that I just absolutely hate and don't even understand what nonviolent sexual assault is. But it is weird that Ridley just right away, 17 games, Deshaun Watson, it's a process to get him to 17 games. But for Calvin Ridley, the point I was making, you haven't played basically in 2 years. If there was talks of, a second round pick for Calvin Ridley in the offseason, I would still say I'm fine with bringing in Calvin Ridley on one final year of the deal. But I don't think are you going to get a second? The guy's a heck of a football player. But a second round pick, you know how teams value this draft capital.
And for 1 year under contract after not playing for almost 2 years, that's...
You can franchise tag him then.
That's a lot.
Slap him the tag up to two times.
It's a risk.
But if he's a missing piece, if you need a number one wide receiver, now how long does it take him to get back into football shape? That's another question. And how much rust does he have to knock off? I get that. But I would give up a second or third round pick for Calvin Ridley. I think the upside's so great. Because he'll be next year when he's... Oh, wow. How old do you think Calvin Ridley will be in 2023? If you had to take a guess.
25.
Be 29 in 2023.
Wait, really? Are you sure about that? 29?
That's what it says on SpotRac right now. Let's see. Let me go to... right now, he turns 28 in December.
Oh, wow.
So he'll be... To start next season, he will be 28 and turn 29 during the course of that season. Jeez. Man, that's kind of nuts when you think about it. But then they'll be 6 years into the league. It does kind of make sense next year. Because this year doesn't count as a contractual year, but it still counts as a year of life. That's just kind of wasted away. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's get to it. Onsides, offsides. Hot take, Kiki. What do you got for me today?
Z-Man, Trey Lance's 2022 preseason debut about to get underway, and he does head into this season with plenty of question marks surrounding his play. Now, this is the first time he's playing. Last year, he did make two starts. Drastically did improve from his week 5 start against the Cardinals, which was a loss. Looked a lot better in his week 17 start against the Texans, which ended up in a win. Now, according to Vegas Insider, San Francisco is a favorite to make the playoffs as their playoff odds are minus 225. Onsides or offsides? The 49ers will make the playoffs this season.
I'm rooting for Trey Lance. I do think, though, there's going to be some natural ups and downs. Now, we did see that even a year ago with a veteran like Jimmy Garoppolo, and they almost made the Super Bowl. This is a weak NFC. Do I believe that they're going to win the division? I don't. So I put the Eagles in the NFC East, the North, the Packers, the South, the Bucks, the West, the Rams. Then I have three wildcard teams to choose from. Or I have to choose three wildcard teams. I like the Cowboys to get in. I like the Vikings to get in. And I'll give the slight edge to the Cardinals. Would it shock me if San Francisco gets in? No, but I'm not going to expect that it all comes together in year number one. And I then think next year, if Lance shows you enough this year, there'll be major expectations. So I'm going to say offsides to your question.
Offside.
While we wait to see the future of Deshaun Watson, there are reports of a settlement floating around. Mike Florio tweeted earlier today that a settlement between Watson and the NFL isn't out of the question. The NFL did have a 12-game suspension and between an $8 to $10 million fine. That was a settlement offer that was on the table before Sue L. Robinson made her ruling, which, as we know, was 6 games. Watson did reject, by the way, that settlement option from the NFL. Last night, the Associated Press reported that the embattled Browns quarterback would accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine from the NFL. Onsides or offsides? The NFL and Deshaun Watson will agree on a settlement. And just to add it in, he did apologize an apology on Browns.com earlier today.
That makes me feel as if Deshaun Watson wants to settle. It's going to be a little bit too late, though, for that to happen. If I'm the NFL, other than just having this go away, that's the only reason I keep on going back to and why you would settle. But at this point, you're, what, a few days away from probably getting your way in a 17-game suspension, and then the only other hurdle you have to climb is him getting rejected in federal court, which it appears from everyone we've talked to, that's going to be the way that goes down, and he won't get an injunction to play. For most of the time, it does not seem like a settlement is likely. The Florio report is intriguing, especially with all the contacts he has and all the good information he has in the NFL, but until I hear the announcement that they've reached a settlement, I'm going to say offside when you ask me the NFL and Deshaun Watson will agree on a settlement.
Offside.
Can I throw this out there to you? We're now thinking if it's a settlement, there will be a window for Deshaun Watson to come back, correct? That's at least the way I've been operating.
You would think, yes. It would
be less
than a year.
Is there a way that he settles on a year if it means that he doesn't get hit with a significant fine? Because there was no fine by Judge Sue Robinson. It was just don't get a massage that's not approved by the team. She advised counseling. And then also you had the 6-game suspension. Does the NFL go to Watson and say, if we're going to settle, you're still taking the year-long suspension. We can't have you on the field this year. You just will only lose your $1 million base salary in the way that they concocted this entire situation, him and his agent.
I would say no, because $230 million is guaranteed and the signing bonus is whatever, $47 million. So like if he's suspended indefinitely, he's only losing $1 million. So it's not like you're losing $45 million. So I don't think a fine he's too worried about.
Okay. Next question.
In the Patriots
preseason. I sound like Drew Rosenhaus right there at the Terrell Owens sit-up press conference. Sit up in the driveway. Next question.
Next
question. Oh, by the way, before you get to the next question, think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's get to your boys, the Patriots. Yesterday, Bill Belichick was up to his old tricks, as both Matt Patricia and Joe Judge were calling offensive plays.
All right, shut up, Hickey. Stop criticizing me. I'm the greatest coach of all time. Who are you?
I'm a no one compared to you, Bill.
Thought Carson Wentz was going to be good. Sucker.
You know what? At least I'm not the one saying Matt Patricia call plays. Belichick is doing.
Hold on. What are you? You think you're a big deal now because you host some Colts podcasts through some company called Odyssey?
That's right, Bill. Hot shot over here.
Yeah. I'll teach you a lesson. I've been talking football before you were born, kid.
That's true.
I'll show you how to talk football on a podcast. Ask me about the history of Spider 2, Eye Banana, and the long snapper, and the late great Wayne Harden, and I'll teach you a lesson, you young whippersnapper.
You know we could bond over, Bill, lacrosse. We'll talk a little Penn State Lacs. Outlook for 2023.
Yeah, we could talk a little lacrosse. We could also talk about that one time that you guys faked a punt in Indianapolis.
I do remember that.
You idiots.
But even better on that day was the Mets NLCS Game 2 against the Cubs, which I was at. Did not even watch the fake punt live. So take that, Bill. You can laugh at me. That doesn't even bother me.
You're a Colts honk.
Doesn't even bother me.
Yeah. Josh McDaniels. We set that hole up. I told him, go to Indianapolis. Pretend like you're going. And then leave him at the altar. Do what I did to the Jets. Morons who want to play for that disgusting, deplorable organization like the Colts that bitched about the flake gate just because they couldn't beat us. They couldn't beat us with a golf ball.
Matty Ice does want to go to the Colts, Bill, so take that. Yeah. Matt Patricia.
Wait, what did you say?
Said Matty Ice wants to go to the Colts. He said no one wants to go to that loser organization. No, Matty Ice does want to go to the Colts.
Yeah.
That was his pick.
We'll spot you at 28-3 lead, see what happens.
Speaking of picks, Bill Belichick did pick Matt Patricia to call plays. He called the first two offensive series of the game yesterday when Brian Hoyer was quarterbacking.
Got it right, idiot.
Joe Judge called the rest of the game with Bailey Zappe at quarterback. Each quarterback threw a touchdown pass.
Ugh.
When asked about his plan for the season, the hoodie said, quote, don't worry about that, end quote.
Don't worry about that.
Onsides or offsides? Bill Belichick, the hoodie, is outsmarting himself this season.
Man, we just had Bill on the show.
Yeah, Bill, how about that? You want to come at me? I'm coming at you, son.
He wouldn't even let me ask him a question. Don't worry, I'll be at training camp practices Tuesday. Try to see if I have any luck.
Just ask him one question, three words, starts with WTF. Bill, honestly, what are we doing here?
I don't get this whatsoever. I am a Patriot fan. I love Bill Belichick and Bill We Trust. This is one I can't defend him on. Because it'd be one thing if he was just calling the plays, but when your options are Joe Judge or Matt Patricia, that doesn't make sense to me. If this was on the defensive side of the ball, okay, it makes sense for Patricia. If this was for the special teams position, it would make sense because Judge was a special teams coordinator. But this is to help develop your young quarterback, who I actually think could be a really good quarterback in this league. Onside. Belichick's outsmarting himself. I'll be fair. To all you morons that go, oh, Gilbert McDonald's praise the Patriots when they deserve to be ripped, I rip them. Just for the better part of the last 20 years, they haven't really deserved to be ripped. And you see that moron? That wasn't nice. I actually like the guy. Did you see what Mraz said today?
No.
Well, we'll get into later in the show when he called one guest seven different names, and that was a little karma for going after me earlier this
historic
week.
Historic. Yeah. Historically bad.
That may be the worst segment in the history of CBS Sports Radio. The worst interview ever. You said it was Big Baby Ben. No. At least I got Ben's name right. But Mraz predicted that the Patriots are going to finish last in the AFC East.
Well, with Zach Wilson out, you may want to reevaluate that one.
Remember, this is the same knucklehead that also predicted that the Giants 2 years ago would have a better next 5 years than the Patriots.
There's still time.
Because he believed in Joe Judge.
There's still time, Zach.
Wonder if he deleted those tweets like he deleted his tweets when he praised Matt Rhule. All right, anyway.
Sheesh. All right, let's skip ahead here. Tom Brady, he has started his 10-day sabbatical away from the Buccaneers. Head coach Todd Bowles.
Sabbatical? What is he doing? The psychedelics with Rodgers? His Pancha Karma cleanse now?
Maybe. Who knows? It's a big mystery.
This is like when someone goes to prison. Hey, they went to go graduate or they went away.
They went away for a little bit.
Brady's going to prison for 10 days.
Todd Bowles did speak yesterday saying the absence was planned for a long time, and according to reports at least, this absence has nothing to do medically with either Tom Brady or anyone in his immediate family. The seven-time Super Bowl champ is scheduled to return to camp on August 20th. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Tom Brady is contemplating retirement.
Offside, stop. He already retired and came back. There's no chance that he's going to retire here. Giselle wants him to be home for 10 days. I don't know. Go on a vacation, send the kids to school. I don't know what it is. But no, he's not going to retire. He'll be ready by week one.
And finally, the college football playoff is entering its ninth season, and parity has not been prevalent. In the last 8 years, with four teams making it each season, there's been just a grand total of 13 different teams to have made the playoff in 8 years. Last year, you had two new teams in Michigan and Cincinnati. First time since 2016, you had two new teams make the playoff in the same year. Onsides or offsides? This year, at least one team that has not made the playoff before will make it this season.
I'm going to be lame here, but I'm going chalk right now until proven to be wrong. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. That's my four. So you asked me, at least one team that hasn't made the playoff will make it this season. Offside.
Offside.
Oh, I was about to say that was a clean sweep, but then I remember I said Bill Belichick or the hoodie. Outsmarted himself.
I'll save that one for later.
What?
Bill Belichick outsmarted himself.
That's fine. I have audio view in the system screaming, "Let's go, Pats. Let's go, Pats. Let's go, Pats." You forget about that?
I remember that one. I think it was to lose games, too. I forget what the context was, but it was not exactly cheering them.
I think they were playing someone that you needed to
probably the Titans
to win.
Just, you know, the Titans hatred flowing.
That's what I think it was. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. When could we see Malik Willis start games this year for Tennessee? And then when could we see Kenny Pickett start games for the Steelers? Back in five.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.